Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
So today we're continuing our series entitled You in 5 Years. And the real idea of this series is to challenge us, to inspire us, to help motivate us to think about where do we want to be in the next 5 years so that we can experience some life change. It is really a series about being intentional. The truth of the matter is all of us struggle with something. And we often wrongly assume that we'll get better over time. Like, just give me 5 years, give me 10 years, give me a decade and I'll get better. But what we're finding in this series is time doesn't make us better. Like, for example, if anxiety is something that you struggle with, what you need to know, first of all, is that it's okay to struggle with anxiety. It doesn't mean that you're less sin. It doesn't mean that you don't love God if anxiety is a part of your life. Anxiety is a normal thing that happens to a lot of people. But anxiety paralyzes us and causes us not to take action. If anxiety is a part of your life, take a step towards becoming free from that. And over time, you can find that you can find some freedom. You can get better with the thing that you struggle with. Or take a common struggle in the church world with a lot of people is pornography. It's something that a lot of people struggle with. Not many people talk about it, but it is a struggle. The truth is, not some people don't struggle with it, if you know what I mean. But a lot of people, they struggle with it. It's a struggle, and they say, I don't want to do this. And oftentimes, when you have an addiction in your life, you can just come to the thought of, this is just my lot in life. This is who I am. I'll never overcome that. And that is not true. You can overcome it. And lots of people have. But you got to take a step in the right direction. You can't just hope that one day you'll be better, or maybe when I get to 50 or 70. No, like, if you're intentional, you can make a difference. And what would happen if in the next 5 years you took steps towards becoming better in this area? Maybe in 5 years you would become free. Or you talk about, like, anger. Anger is a natural thing that happens. It's a thing that a lot of us struggle to control. And we think, maybe when I get older, I won't be so angry. That's not the truth. The truth of the matter is, if you're angry now today, you're going to be angry 5 years from now, unless you take an intentional step. And that's why the big idea from week one was simply this. Time does not change who you are. It reveals who you are. Time does not change who you are. It reveals who you are. 5 years from now, if you're not intentional, you're going to be revealing the exact same struggles that you're going through right now. But if you're intentional, you can make progress in the next 5 years. Last week, we talked about why this is so hard, because we all desire change, and we all make these, you know, goals and say, hey, I'm going to do different. But then we often get in our own way. And the reason we get in our own way is because our hearts don't have our best interests in mind. That's why last week, the main idea was the heart was never meant to be followed, but to be led. We often hear this phrase, just trust your heart, just follow your heart. Don't follow your heart, don't trust your heart. Question your heart, challenge your heart. Follow God and He will lead you ultimately to what your heart wants. But start with God, not with your heart. Well, today, we're going to look at why setting this 5-year goal, looking ahead 5 years, we're going to look at why this is so important to us and why having a timetable with an expiration date, having a deadline is going to make a huge difference in our life. And the scripture that we're going to look at that's going to guide us this morning, it comes from the book of Psalms. The Psalms are in the Old Testament part of scripture, and the Psalms is a collection of songs. We don't have the melody, we don't have the chorus, we don't know how the songs go, we just have the song lyrics. And the Psalms are incredibly powerful, and they're written by various people all throughout the scriptures. The psalm that we're going to read today was written by a guy by the name of Moses. Now, if you grew up in church, you're very familiar with who Moses is. If you didn't grow up in the church, there's a great chance that you've at least heard of Moses. If there was a Mount Rushmore of biblical characters, Moses would be on the mountain. He is a very popular. In fact, it is believed that Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And so that's a pretty big honor. He's done a lot of big things. Now, that fifth book is a little bit questionable, because in the fifth book, we read how Moses died, and we read about after his life. So at some point, someone took on the writing, and he didn't write the whole thing, because it's weird if you're writing about your death, you're a zombie. So I don't know how that worked out, but he gets credit for writing the first 5 books of the Old Testament. In fact, he's one of the most influential people. More movies have been made of his life than any other character except for Jesus in the whole scriptures. Like, he is very foundational and very influential in the scriptures. And he wrote a song lyric that we're going to focus on today. And it is a song lyric that if you would memorize it, if you would apply it to your life, it could radically change you for the next handful of years and maybe even for the rest of your life. Well, at Next Level, we honor the text. And the way that we do that is by standing to our feet. So I want to invite you to stand up to your feet and read with me nice and loud Psalm 90, verse 12. It says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. And I want to invite you, with just every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to invite you to personally talk to God. Not out loud, but just quietly. If you don't know what to say, if you're nervous, you can say a simple prayer. God, speak to my heart and give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do. Would you spend a few seconds just talking to God yourselves? God, we thank you in advance for how you're going to answer our prayers. I think it's so cool that you can hear each and every single one of us. And I think it's amazing that you will answer our prayers. And God, the prayer of our hearts right now is that you'd speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you'd wake us up, that you would help us to become more like you. And God, we know that whenever you speak, it's scary, it's challenging. So God, would you give us the courage to obey you even when we're scared? God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the verse that we just read is an amazing prayer. In fact, it's a prayer that I would encourage you to pray. Like, how different would your world be? How different would your life be if you just wrote down this prayer and every morning you spent time praying? And the prayer is just, it's really simple. You could memorize it today if you wanted to. Teach me to number my days. There are a lot of Christians who say, I struggle with prayer, I don't have time for prayer, I don't know what to pray. Well, here's your prayer for you. What if just every day you committed to say, God, would you teach me to number my days? Why is this so important? It's important because statistics show that if human beings, especially Americans, if we don't have a deadline, we are prone to procrastinate. That is, if there's not an end date, if there's not something we're aiming for, we will put it off because in our minds we think, I have forever to work on it. I'll work on that later. In fact, there's been a lot of studies on this. Statistics show that 86% of high school students procrastinate on assignments. 86%. That's a huge percentage. Now, in this series, what we're challenging is the thought that you get better over time. What we've seen is you don't get better over time. If you want to see what you look like in 5 years, look at the things you struggle with now and add some mileage. And that is true with this next stat, because 86% of high school students procrastinate, but when it gets to college, that number jumps up to 88% of college students procrastinate. If you were a college student, would you just be honest, did you procrastinate? All right, either you guys are awesome or you didn't go to college. I don't know how to read that, but I procrastinated. In fact, one time I procrastinated so bad, I had a book that I had to read the entire semester. It was due at the end of the semester, and I had to write a book report. And I waited until the night before it was due, and I sit up all night long reading a book and writing a book report. It was horrible, and yet I'm in this stat. Now, here's something that is very fascinating. They separated that stat, so it's 88% of both men and women, but they separated the stat between just men and women, and they found that 94% of college men procrastinate. 94%. So it goes up even if you're a guy. So if you're here today and you are married to a man, you need to know he's a procrastinator. It's who he is. It's just a part of him. In fact, if you're a guy here today, I have the coffee mug for you. This is the coffee mug that you need to buy and you need to get. If I say I'm going to fix it, I will. You don't have to remind me every 6 months. That's your coffee mug. Now, if you are married to a guy and you've ever gotten frustrated because you've asked him to help you with a honey-do list, help you with a chore, and you're just like, why does he put it off? Why does he do it? Well, set a deadline. Set a time frame where you say, hey, I would love for this to be done by this date. Because isn't it true if we don't have a deadline, we procrastinate? Take your job, for example. If someone walks in and says, hey, I have this assignment for you, just get it done wherever. You'll say, okay, eventually I'll get that done, but you put it in a pile and you worry about the stuff that is immediate, that has to get done now, and then you forget about the assignment and time goes on and you never do it. A deadline is so important for us to actually achieve our goals. And here's the thing with life. Life doesn't feel like it has a deadline. And the biggest challenge with life is that it's just so daily. We feel like, oh, I can do that on Monday. I can do that next week. I can get right with God. I can live for God when I'm older. We put things off. The things that we should do, we put off because we don't have a deadline. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. The truth is, no one wastes their life intentionally. We waste it accidentally, one day at a time. No one wastes their life intentionally. Like, no one, when they get to the end of their life, says, you know what? I'm so glad that I did nothing meaningful in my life. I'm so glad that I ignored my family and that I didn't work hard at my job. And I'm so glad I just kind of existed. And man, it just felt good to be a nothing. And now I'm going to die with nothing. Nobody says that. In fact, at the end of your life, oftentimes you reflect over the things that you wish you would have done and the things that you would have done better. And that's what our prior scripture is so important. Right before our scripture, Moses gives us some insight into our lives. In Psalm 90:10, he says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if your strength endures. I think that's kind of a funny lyric because it's a song lyric. And I don't know how he was singing that, but it's like he's riding along. Yeah, most of us have 70 years. Some people have 80 if they're lucky. Let me write that into the song. I think it's a funny lyric, but it's the truth. Like, most of us have, on average, 70 years. If you eat your vegetables and you exercise and you eat right, you might get 80 years out of this life. But it's a very limited time. He goes on to say, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. What is Moses saying? Moses is saying is, if you're not careful, what you'll do is you move from one bad thing to the next and you wait for life to come to you. And it's like, oh, I had a good day. I hope tomorrow's great. Oh, tomorrow's a bad day. Oh, let me just get through this. And then you just wait. But if you're intentional, you can actually direct the direction of your life. You can turn it. You don't have to wait for good moments or bad moments. You can create the life that you want, but you have to be intentional. If you're not intentional, the days will fly past you and you'll look back and you'll have regret. Dr. Leslie Weatherhood, she calculated the average length of a life using hours of one day to illustrate the importance of recognizing the value of time. So what Dr. Leslie did was say that we're all familiar with 24 hours in a day, and she put an age by each hour of the 24 hours to help us understand this is how quickly life goes by. So if you're here today and you're 15 years old, Dr. Leslie says that the time is 10:25 a.m. So there's 24 hours in a day, 10:25. And at 15, you might feel like, oh, I have my whole life in front of me. I have so many years to live. But if you look at it in time, it's like, wow, this is kind of moving fast. Like, I still got a lot of time, but 10:25, it's not as early as it once was. If your age is 20, the time is 11:34 a.m. If your age is 25, the time is 12:42 p.m. If you're 30, the time is 1:51 p.m. If you're 35, the time is 3 p.m. If you're 40, hello, the time is 4:08 p.m. If at age 45, the time is dinner, 5:15 p.m. If you're 50, the time is 6:25 p.m. By age 55, the time is 7:24 p.m. If you're 60, the time is 8:42 p.m. If you're 65, the time is 9:51 p.m. And if you're 70, the time is 11 p.m. Why? Because time has a way of flying by us. It's moving quickly. And your age, no matter what age you are, when you look at it in a matter of 24 hours, you get to see just how quickly it could pass you by. This is an hour. It's an hour that may feel like it's going on forever, but it's just an hour in time. It's a wrinkle. It's just a moment. And if you're here today and you're a parent of littles, the days feel forever. It just feels like they're never going to end. The days are long, but I'm telling you, the years are fast. And if you're not intentional, you miss the season that you're in. And you look back and you say, oh, when did they grow up? They just grew up so fast. No, it is a season. It's a moment in your life. If you have a job right now and you hate your job, I get it. That's tough. But this is a moment in your life. Make the most of your job right now, because one day you're not going to have this job. And you get to look back and say, did I make the most of it? Did I work my hardest? Did I do my best? Did I really give my all in that season? In the moment, it feels like it's never going to end. But when you look back over it, it goes by incredibly fast. That's why, look at what Moses said. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to say, man, this is a tough season, but it's only going to last for a moment. Man, this is difficult, but I can get through this. I can push through this moment. It's tough, but I'm not done. I can keep pushing. Now, Moses gives a reason why we should number our days. The verse doesn't just end and say, hey, teach us to number our days. He goes on to say specifically that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach me to number my days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom. We often think that wisdom means that you are smart, but you can be wise and be really dumb. Like, you can't, like, it's not a matter of book smart. Like, for example, you probably know someone who has a degree, maybe a master's degree, that they are smart intellectually, and yet they don't have a lot of whiz. In fact, they have more dumb than they do whiz. Like, they're really strong. Like, you look at their life and you're like, how come you keep making such stupid decisions? Like, you're a smart human being. Why do you keep making it? Because wisdom is not about intelligence. The ancients, the Hebrews, who wrote the Old Testament of Scripture, they define wisdom as this. Wisdom is the art of skillful living. It is the art of skillful living. Wisdom is asking, what is the wise thing for me to do? Based off the last time I went here, how did it work out for me? Based off where I want to go, is that the right decision to make? Based off where I want to be in 5 years, should I be avoiding this or should I be doing this? Wisdom asks questions that we often don't ask. You know the question that we often ask when it comes to our own life? How does this make me feel? How does that make me feel? If it makes me feel good, then I'm going to do it. But feelings are deceptive. Feelings lie to us. Feelings don't lead us to where we want to go. We need wisdom, and wisdom is ultimately attached to a value. If you want to grow in your wisdom, then you got to start following what God wants for your life, and we get what God wants through the Scriptures. The problem that way too many of us have is that we are like Drake and we're all up in our feelings. What we need to be is like Moses and all up in the Scripture. Thank you, the four of you that got the Drake reference. The rest of you, it was a big viral video. It followed everywhere as a song. Kiki. Oh, yeah. Anyway. The point is, if you're not careful, you will miss out. You will miss out on moments. And the reason you'll miss out on moments is because you lack wisdom. Wisdom is attached to a value. Wisdom says, God, what do you want for my life? I will do that, even when I don't feel like it. You see, wisdom is so much more than feelings. Feelings fade. In fact, if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. Feelings fade, values stay. Feelings fade, values stay. If you want to make progress in your life, if you want to become better in the next 5 years, you got to establish what do you value in this life, because your value is what you will do. Your feelings, they're all over the place. You may feel like doing something one day and then not do it the next. Like, going into 2019, my wife and I, we were assessing some things, and we came up with some goals, and we said, for 2019, our goals are with our health. We're going to make wise choices. We're going to make better choices. And so we set some practical goals, and they were based around the struggle that we have. The struggle that we have is we often get on some fad diet, and we lose a whole bunch of weight, and then as soon as we get off the diet, we gain the weight back. And so we said, instead of doing that, let's come up with some attainable goals, like some practical things, some disciplines that we can do every day. And let's stick to these disciplines and watch change. It may not come as fast, but slowly our goal is over time we're going to see some change. And so we said the goals that we have is we're going to count every calorie. Everything we put in our mouth, we're going to count it. So we got the app MyFitnessPal, and we're typing in every calorie. It's so annoying, but we're putting in everything that we eat so we can see. And there's a goal that's set that if I eat the exact amount of calories, my weight will stay the same. If I eat more, I'll go up. But if I eat less, then my weight will go down. So we're tracking all of our calories. Another goal that we set is we're not going to eat after 8 p.m. We put our kids to bed at 7:30, and then we go watch TV like a lot of people do, watch Netflix, watch what's on TV. And it's during that time you get bored, or you just kind of get the munchies, and we just end up just eating. So we said, we're going to stop. We can control that. We're not going to eat after 8 p.m. And then the third thing that we said is that we're going to exercise 5 days a week. 5 days a week. And so we're 3 weeks into the new year, and I've stuck to these goals. I've been doing them every day. Thank you. I hate it. Like, 3 weeks in, it's not like, woo, this is great. I'm feeling motivated. I'm feeling good. On Monday of this week, I was dreading it. I had to push myself out of bed. I had to say, I committed to exercise. I've been jogging on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and Tuesdays and Thursdays, I've been playing racquetball. And I want to tell you, it's dark when I get up, and it's cold when I get up, and I'm never enjoying it. And there are some psychos out there that feel energized when they exercise. That's not me. I get done exercising, I want to take a nap. I get done exercising, I feel depressed. I get done exercising, I'm like, this is horrible. On my day off this week, I set this goal that I wanted to jog 3 miles. I've been building up. When I first started, I could barely do a mile. I got to a mile. Now that's decently easy. I worked up to 2 miles last week. This week, I tried to do 3 miles. And on Friday, I went to a trail that was 3 miles long, and I could only do 2.6 miles. And I want to tell you, I could only do it because the whole time, even mile one, it was a struggle. Like, not just like, oh, this is kind of tough. It was hard. You want to know the only thought that made me go as far as I did? I kept daydreaming about food. That's not a joke. I'm dead serious. If I jogged 2.6 miles, I burned 700 calories, and I kept dreaming about what I could eat because I can add that into my Fitness Pal, and it's 700 extra calories. Like, I'm an optimist, and I have a hard time finding anything positive about exercising. The only thing positive I've come up with is that when I jog, I am in so much pain, it is so horrible, I've got a chance to meet a lot of people. The paramedics are so nice when they come and they revive me. Like, I hate it. It's horrible. But here's why I tell you that, because my feelings often tell me to go opposite of my goals. So I've got to get past my feelings. I got to get past trusting my feelings, saying, how do I feel? It doesn't matter how I feel. What do I value? What do I ultimately want in this life? And what I ultimately want in this life is to follow God. So I'm going to establish values around what God values. I love this quote by Lisa Turkhorst. She says, today's choices become tomorrow's circumstances. Today's choices. And we don't like to think about how little choices can make a difference, but it does. That's why this series is so important for us. In the next 5 years, what are the little choices we're going to make? Because eventually we can look back and say, man, we've covered so much ground. We've moved so far. How did we do it? One step at a time. We started walking in the right direction, one step at a time. I know that none of us like to think about death or like to think about an end date, but the truth of the matter is, if we don't think about an end date, if we don't think about an expiration date, if we don't put a timetable on it, all of us, including myself, we will procrastinate and put off the things that we ultimately want to do. There's a nurse from Australia. Her name is Bonnie Ware. And Bonnie was a palliative nurse. Now, I'm probably butchering how you say that name, but specifically her job was is that she gave comfort and gave care to patients who only had 12 weeks left to live, 12 weeks or less. And what she found is in that 12 weeks, patients said the exact same thing over and over again. They had the same themes. They may have said it a little bit differently, but the same common themes came up, and it was based on regrets that their life has now gotten past them, and it's now too late for them to do anything. And when they look back, they had specific regrets. And according to her, there are top 5 regrets of the dying. And the top 5 regrets, number 1 is, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. It's such a true thing that not all of us are people pleasers. I myself am a recovering people pleaser. It's easy for me to care so much about what other people want, what other people say, that I don't do what I am supposed to do. And this is why I would say values are so important. Because when you hold to a value, it doesn't matter if people accept it or not, because it's what you know you're supposed to do. Like, for example, my wife and I, we said going into when our kids were born, we said that we value us time. We want to make sure that when our kids grow up and they go off to college, we're still in love and we're not just roommates, that we're soulmates. And so in order to do that, we need to set some boundaries around our kids. And we've got to set some time limits and say they have a bedtime and we're not going to let them stay up all night because we need some time together. And so we've been very disciplined from day one. And you know what? There's a lot of people who don't share this value. And there's a lot of people who have actually criticized us and said, oh, you're too hard on the kids and just let them stay up. And we go back to, hey, we're not trying to offend you. We're not trying to tell you how to live your life. This is what we value, and we're not going to bend by it. And we found great success by holding on to this value. But the reason I don't bend by people's opinions is because I have a value and not a feeling. Value is incredibly important. Number 2, I wish I hadn't worked so much. I wish I hadn't worked so much. Now, this theme wasn't that I wish I didn't work at all, and it wasn't I wish I didn't make money. It was a common theme where people said, when I look back at my life, I wish I would have prioritized my family more than I did my job. It's specifically when it looked back over kids and it said, man, I worked for my kids ultimately to provide for my kids, but I missed out on their childhood. And I thought they were going to be that age forever, but I looked back and I missed their ball games and I missed their plays and I missed their recitals. And I wish I would have prioritized my kids more than I did my job. And then specifically after that, people have reflected on their spouses and said, you know what, it was just so easy to take my spouse for granted because I just felt like I had forever with my spouse. And I wish I would have been more intentional. I wish I would have romanced my spouse more. I wish we would have gone on more dates. I wish we would have taken more time for ourselves. It just felt like we had eternity together. So we often took each other for granted. I wish I hadn't worked so much. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Now, this is a common thought, and this is real. I don't know. I may get to the end of my life and have this same regret, but I would actually challenge this one because feelings are so fleeting. And how do you know what feelings you should express and what feelings you should keep to yourself? Like, for example, today in 2019, everybody is offended by everything. And if we just go by our feelings, we're constantly telling people how they live their lives or how they've offended us. We're just constantly fighting with everyone. So how do we know, well, what is truth? What should I hold on to? And when should I just say, I'm being sensitive? I need to just bury that deep down. I would say it should be based off your values and not your feelings. Because if you value something, then you can come out and express it and say, hey, this is why I care about it. I'm not mad just to be mad. I'm not offended just to be offended. This is something that I value. I value friendship. And right now, I don't feel like you're being a good friend. Or I value honesty. And right now, I don't feel like you're being honest. But hold to a value, not just your feelings. Because your feelings go all over the place. Number four says, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. A natural progression happens with us as humans that when you are first born, your social network and your main sphere of influence is your parents. And that's who you look up to the most, and that's who you want to spend time with. And kids just value time with their parents. But then kids become teenagers. And in the teenage years, the focus shifts from parents to peers. And they look for a social outlook from their friends. And they want to know what their friends think, and they care about their friends' opinion. But then when they move into their 20s, a lot of adults end up getting married and having kids of themselves. And at that point, their focus and their priority shifts from caring about friends to now caring about family. And it's a natural progression. But what happens is the older you get, the less time you spend with your friends. And you don't feel like you're not friends with them because you, in your mind, you think, yeah, we're friends. We haven't broken up. We still like each other. So of course we're friends. But if you look over the last year of your life, have you spent much time with your friends? Because at the end of the life, people are saying, man, I wish I would have spent more time. I wish I would have prioritized my friends. Because the truth is it's hard to have friends as an adult. But all of us could prioritize an hour a month towards our friends. We all could prioritize. This is why I do a small group at Next Level Church. It is a guarantee once a week where I could hang out with some people I like for an hour and a half. Because if I'm not intentional, time goes by and I see someone, I'm like, oh man, we haven't hung out in a year. We should hang out. But at the end of my life, I want to know that I valued my friends, that I cared about my friends. Great friendships happen intentionally, not accidentally. And all of us could have good friendships if we made time for it. There's a couple guys that go to our church, and I met them not through the church. I actually met them through the gym that we were all a part of. And on Fridays during my day off, I would find myself going to the gym at the same time they did because I really liked hanging out with them. Conversation was easy. We laughed a lot. We had a lot of the same things in common. And so we would just hang out. And we would hang out so much that the gym would close and they would tell us to lock up and shut off the lights. And so we would just hang out until we were done and then we'd shut everything down. Our gym closed down, and so we went from seeing each other, guaranteed every Friday we'd see each other, to it went some weeks, sometimes even months, and we'd casually see each other at church, and we'd do the thing friends do, hey, we should get together, let's have coffee sometime, but we just never were hanging out. And finally, one week after the service, it was right over there in that section, one of them said, hey, we just need to hang out, we just need to set a date, let's just do it. So we all pulled out our phones, and We found a time that we could all hang out, and it was tough because we're all very busy. We have families. We have jobs pulling us different ways, but we finally found a date, and we said, this is the date we're going to hang out, and so we decided to go to Mission Barbecue on Jefferson to have lunch and just prioritize it, and so The very first time that we did this, we showed up to mission, and if you've ever been to mission barbecue, you order your food, and they often ask you for your name, and then they call your name when your food is ready. And so we gave them our name, and then we went to get our drinks, and as we were getting our drinks, they called our name, and we thought, man, that was really fast. And so we walked back to the counter, and the manager is there, and the manager says to us, I am so sorry for your wait. You guys had to wait so long. I'm going to give you free dessert today. Now, it wasn't that long of a wait, but who am I to turn away free dessert? So I'm like, awesome, this is great. Give us that free dessert. So he gave us free dessert, and it was amazing. It was so great. And so at the end of that, we said, this was fun. Let's make sure we do this again. So we got out our phones, and we prioritized. We scheduled, when's the next time? Next month, when's the day that we're going to go do our lunch? And we showed up the next month. And the next month, the manager didn't give us free dessert, and so we were a little bummed, but we went and sat, and we had our lunch, had our gathering, and they have someone that works the lobby and asks, like, do you need anything? Can I get you a refill? Can I take your tray? And this woman comes up to us, and she works there, and she says, hey, how was everything today? And we said, oh, it was great. And she said, can I get you anything? And I was just trying to be humorous, and I said, yeah, you know, last time we were here, the manager gave us free dessert. Do you have any free dessert? And she says, no, I can't give you guys free dessert. Are you military? And at this point, one of the guys said, no, we're not military, but that's our pastor. And they pointed to me, and they said, we meet here monthly at Mission Barbecue. This is our small group. And she said, oh, you're a pastor? Okay, I'll get you guys free dessert. So she she went in the back and came out with a tray of free dessert. Now, we got to know her. Her name is Amanda. And so we went back on the third month, because it's scheduled, because we make this, we're intentional about it. We go back the third month, we see Amanda. Amanda, without even prompting, without even asking, Amanda brings us out dessert. This is awesome. It's a great thing. The fourth month, it tested this. The fourth month, we showed up, and Amanda wasn't there. And so when we ordered, oh, you guys are really feeling you didn't get your dessert. Oh, so we show up, and we order our food, and after we order, I ask, hey, is Amanda here? And they said, no, Amanda's off, and we all were, like, kind of bummed, and we're like, this is it, like, this is the end of it. And the cashier said, why do you guys care so much about Amanda? And we said, well, because Amanda, we meet here every month, this is our small group, and the guys were like, that's our pastor, and every month, Amanda gives us free dessert. And the cashier says, oh, I'll see what I'll do. I can get you guys free dessert. And so she offered to give us free dessert. So we go and we sit down and we have our lunch and we hang out and we're done and we've cleared our trays and we haven't gotten any dessert. And so I said, guys, we've had a good run. Like we made this thing really far. Like it's just not in the cards. And one of the guys is like, no, I'm not accepting that. Like he said, I'm going to go up to the counter, and I'm going to order dessert and pull out my wallet like I'm going to pay, and hopefully it'll jog her memory, and then she'll give us free dessert. So he walked up to the counter and said, hey, I want to order three desserts. And she said, oh, they haven't brought it out to you yet? And he said, no. She said, I'll take care of that. I'll make sure. So then she goes in the back. They come out with a tray of desserts. They give us free desserts. It was amazing. Now, at this point, Amanda, because we've been doing this every month, we're on like month 9 now, because we've been doing this every month, Amanda now knows who we are. In fact, she has it on the work calendar, the day that we are meeting. She knows when we're coming, so much so that this past month, she was not scheduled to work, and she asked to swap with another employee so she could be there on the day that we work. At this point, we don't ask for dessert. We don't even hint for it. They just bring it out to us on a tray. It is amazing. And why do I tell you that? Because great things happen when you're intentional. The friendships, not the dessert. It's true, though. You, right now, you probably say, I'm just so busy, I don't have time. But don't you have an hour in a month that you could give towards a friend? Don't you have an hour in a week? Like, I know we're all pressed for time. I know we're all busy. But what if we just prioritize a little bit? What if we just committed and said, you know what? It's too important. It's too important to not have friends. It's so important. I'm going to prioritize friendships. I'm going to make sure that I spend some time with them, just a little bit of time. What if that was a value? I'm telling you, you'd get to the end of your life, and this wouldn't be one of the things that you regret, because you could say, man, I poured into my friends, and I made a priority with them, and they loved me, and I loved them. Number 5, I wish that I had let myself be happier. I wish that I'd let myself be happier. Happiness is a choice. It's not always an easy choice, but happiness is a choice. And so often, because we're in our feelings, and so often because we just go from one bad moment to the next, we forget to smile. We forget to be happy. We forget to say, you know what? Yeah, life is hard. This season is difficult. But I got a lot of things that should bring me joy. I have a lot of things that I could be thankful for. And what if at the end of our life, if we chose every day, moment by moment, to find something to be happy about? You know what? When we got to the end of our lives, we wouldn't say, man, I missed out. I just didn't have any fun. No, we could say, I made the most of it. It wasn't an easy life, but I was intentional. And I made sure that I was going to find happiness. Now, I know that we really don't like to think about death, but death is one of those things that gives us a timetable. It's one of those things that puts an expiration date that, God forbid, any of you in here had only 12 weeks to live, but if you were given 12 weeks to live, you would think intentionally about your life. It would help you surface the things that you really care about. So I want to do something. It's an illustration. It's a way to pull this out of you. And the way that we're going to end today is, in your seats, there was this piece of paper. If you could just pull this paper out. And you're also going to need a pen. So there should have been also a pen in your seat. This piece of paper has a casket on the top. It's a little bit morbid. And then all you had to do is get the paper. You didn't have to have a conversation. I don't know what we're talking about. It's like loud, like y'all are really into talking. So grab this piece of paper. And underneath the casket is the verse, Psalms 90:12. It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's just a reminder for you. You're going to get to take this paper with you, okay? So this is not for you to keep here. It's not for you to trade or to give away to someone else. This is for you to put someplace where you can remember the decision that you made today. Now, here's the part that is a little bit of an ask, but I want to ask you guys to do something that is going to help us unearth the things that we really care about. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you in just a second to visualize and to think about your funeral. And I know no one wants to do that. No one's like, woohoo, yay, we can think about death. I know that that's not a thing that we look forward to, but death is something that helps us number our days. So I want to ask you, and this is an all play, I'm asking all of us to do this. I want to ask you to close your eyes, and to just for a few moments, I want you just to focus and to think intentionally about your last day, your funeral. Who are the people that have shown up to your funeral? Who do you want to be there? Who didn't show up that you wish was there? What are the sights? What are the smells? What are the things that you see? As the pastor gets up to talk about you, what are the things that the pastor says? What are the words that are described about you? What is your family saying as they're talking, as they're crying? What is your family saying about you in this moment? Are you there? Think about it. Now, as you're thinking about this, I want you to think really specifically, and this is the question. What are the things you thought you'd have time to do someday, but have not yet done? So you're in your casket. It's you have no more time. It's not like you have 12 weeks. It's like, this is it. What are the things at this moment that you're like, ah, if I were to die tomorrow, I didn't get to it. I wanted to. I dreamed of it. I said we were going to do it, but I kept putting it off. What are the things you thought you'd have time to do someday, but have not yet done? Do you have a few things? Some goals, dreams, relationships? Now you can open your eyes and take that piece of paper, and in the blanks provided, I want you to write down some things. What are those things that it's on your bucket list, it's on your list of, I hope to do that one day. What are the things that you've been putting off? Just write them on there. Is it, I've always hoped to have a good marriage, but I was too scared to do it. I didn't know where to go. I was too embarrassed to ask for help. Was it to get in shape? Was it to write a book? Was it to start a new career? Was it to be more involved in your kid's life? I don't know what it is, but write down on this, just write a handful of them. What are the things that you've said, I really want to do it, but because life is so daily, you've put it off? If you're here and you're like, I don't have anything, just cheat off your neighbor. Write something down. Write their goals. I want to give you a few seconds just to write. Just write a handful of things. It doesn't matter that it's not a competition, but just try to write 2-3 things. What are the things you thought you'd have time to do someday, but have not yet done? Thank you. need more time, that's fine. You get to take this home. You can work on this later. What I want you to do, though, there's a second question. And the second question is this: which one of these items guts you to the core? We all have a handful of things. There's 2, 3, maybe some of you have 6. But out of that list, what is the thing that you're like, ah, that was my missed opportunity? I wish I would have said sorry and made that relationship right. I wish I would have been more disciplined. What's the thing that hit you in the gut the most? Circle that thing. And whatever that thing is that you circled, that's your starting point. And what if for the next 5 years you just took steps towards that one thing? It may take you a while, it may be scary at first, but if you take little steps, watch, in 5 years you'll accomplish whatever you put on there. You could accomplish it in 5 years. Which one of these items guts you to the core? I love the quote by John Maxwell. He says, improvement doesn't happen in a day, but it must be daily. You want to know how to fulfill your dreams? You want to know how to get the most out of life? It's one step at a time. So take a step. So here's the win. The win's what we do with all this. Today's win is, out of your list of things you've been putting off, which one guts you to the core? Take a step towards doing that today. I don't know what your step is. I can't tell you what your step is. But don't say, oh, I'll do that Monday. I'll do that next week. I'll do that when I'm older. No, take a step today. Literally take a step today. Even if it's a small step. Take a step towards that thing. And watch what God does in your life. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you right now. And we're just so thankful that you are a patient God. We're so thankful that you inspire us and motivate us. Because so often we're distracted. And so often we're not motivated to do the things that we ultimately should do and want to do. And so God, right now, we just commit these next steps to you. We commit them and we ask in Jesus' name that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine as we take steps towards you. God, help us to be all in for you. Move in us and keep us motivated. And when we're not, give us the grace we need to keep going. Thank you for what you're going to do and for how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.